Buddy Hield. Gets it to Looney. Back to Buddy. As Hield went down, Curry to Buddy Hield. Left sideline three. Got it. Another bucket for the Warriors. They lead by 21 points. 26-5. And there are boos here at the Target Center.
Hey, Eric, Buddy Hield. You're listening to Willib and Dibs on 95.7, The Game.
Ah, thank you, buddy. I do hate to say this because it sounds like just analysis and opinion go to die when you say this, but you look at last night's game, and it's like, did the Warriors do something strategically, or did they just have that dog in them? You said Minnesota came out flat. I mean, sure, they weren't hit, but like, dude, the Warriors just shot the ball and it went in last night. That's all. They shot the ball and it went in. And a lot of other nights, they shoot it and it doesn't go in. They made half of their three-pointers. They shot better from three than they did from two.
Yeah.
And
it's a make-or-miss league, as they say.
Right, and they made their free throws. Go figure. They shot it, it went in, and they won.
By one. By a single point.
By a point.
They out-rebounded Minnesota, a much taller team, by four. And
that's crazy.
They wound up with 12 turnovers, not a lot. Minnesota only had nine. So your 26 assists to 12 turnovers, good ratio. They were 21-7. But really, the game was won in the first part of the first quarter where, yes, they made their shots. He made his shots. Steph 12, Minnesota 12 at the end of one. So
yep.
When the chef comes out and hits all four of his threes, and as a team, you go 8-13, and they, I don't think they scored until the 7-minute mark. And yeah, you're 13 nothing.
The fans there do that thing where, like college, where you don't sit down till they score. And I think there were some old people that were starting to get worried.
Yeah, 4.5 minutes finally, you know, it scored, right? And it was restaurant quality.
It was DiVincenzo.
With a one-footed putback.
I still like that guy.
I do, too.
He's a good player.
And he plays with that kind of feistiness that the Warriors have been lacking. But
both ends of the floor, yes.
And shout-out Gui Santos. And, you know, I was talking about it yesterday, and it's easy to scoff at the name when you throw it out there, but he's in the starting lineup, and he plays with energy and youthful exuberance, and Steiny was pointing it out earlier about the idea of maybe Draymond coming off the bench. I don't hate it, because you play Gui, and he's basically playing for his career. He's a guy who is, you know, at least 20 to 30 games away from maybe getting a real contract, and so when he's out there, he plays absolutely as hard as he possibly can every second.
Yes, he had no turnovers, he had three assists, he had seven rebounds, he had 5 points. Like, he's just going to dip his toe in the water here and there, but he does good things. So, great. That's awesome that they've got that kind of depth. By the way, DiVincenzo, I didn't even notice this. Did you know that he scored 28 last night?
Yeah, it was a quiet 28.
It was quiet. He scored as many as Ant. I like him, man. I like him as a player. But yeah, Minnesota didn't shoot the ball poorly from three either. They shot 46% from three. So both teams were filling it up. But again, I hate this with what we do for a living, but this is not, like, I'll admit it to you, it's not great analysis. But when Steph, when his shot is falling and the Warriors are able to also find secondary and even third options on the floor, then they are a good basketball team. But they haven't done that consistently.
Right.
Andrew Wiggins, I thought, was really good last night, especially from the free throw line, 10 of 12. And he added 24. And then Buddy was hitting shots off the bench, and he had 18. Now, if Steph has that every night, it's still a good basketball team.
Yes.
But
and just before the callers line up to say it, and you know, you want to vilify Steve Kerr, and you want to go ahead and project for the future, but darn it, play Moses Moody. Can you play Moses 25 minutes, and he was 3 of 4 from deep, and he played with that assertiveness and with that confidence, and that's another thing about the Steph cut that you played that is sticking with me, because he says, we're a confident team, and yet last week, Steve Kerr is talking about a crisis of confidence.
So, that's an interesting observation.
You know, for me, confidence is very temporary, and especially when you have younger players, it's easy to be confident when you beat Minnesota on the road.
Totally.
And it's easy to have your confidence be shattered when you lose to Toronto. So I do like that Steph is trying to, you know, speak that into existence. Like, we're a confident team.
Well,
you weren't last week.
He is.
Right.
He is. And so maybe he's just trying to have that trickle down, because I think Steve Kerr's observation was accurate. You know, a lot of those other guys, I mean, if you're Moses Moody, how can you be confident night in and night out? I think he actually does a great job with it. Guy Santos has walked in and is ready to play when his number finally got called. But the Buddy Hields of the world, the Dennis Schroeders, those people who look like they're pressing, yeah, that can knock your confidence a little bit. And Steph Curry is probably the right guy to sort of like try at least to push that the other direction. Here is again the comment that Dibs is referring to on ESPN last night, right there on the floor.
All the Twitter fingers who's got deals that they need, that we need to make, can kind of just shut up a little bit and let us figure this thing out. Like, we know we can be competitive. And we showed, you know, that toughness tonight. Obviously, every team is trying to find ways to get better. And for us, we've been great for a very long time. This is just a unique year where we have to be able to stay relevant and give ourselves a chance and just have some life in a playoff series. And we have a whole lot of confidence that we can, you know, beat anybody. So, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. We have a whole lot of confidence, and we've been great for a long time. And Guy Santos is sitting next to him going, what are you talking about? I was 8.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, yeah, so he's trying to drag everybody along with him, and that's what a leader does.
That's right. And, you know, Steph, I'm sorry, but my Twitter fingers have been working, and my trade machine is open, and Schroeder and Looney for Vucevic, it works.
They're not doing that deal.
Schroeder and Looney
that's not the
for
deal.
Vucevic.
That's not the deal.
It's my deal.
I don't want
it. And it works.
By the way, I'll say this. Get your Twitter fingers ready, Lucas, because I got a definitive statement to make on 95.7 The Game. I don't want the Warriors considering trading Dennis Schroeder. No.
He's tradable a day before the deadline.
He's not tradable, not for this team.
He's highly tradable, and Minnesota's one of only 22 teams he hasn't played on yet.
Yeah, I get that.
He's trying to catch Ish Smith.
This team,
if you know, you know,
needs that guy. And I know he hasn't been great yet. He's starting to come around. I think that there is a warm-up period, a get-to-know-you period, a figure-it-out period for both sides here, the team and the player. But the Warriors need another two-way ball-handling guard. They went out and gave a bunch of money to DeAnthony Melton because they knew it. And whether he's been perfect at it so far or not, they cannot function, in my opinion, the way they want to going forward without him. Unless you're giving me some, you can't give me Vucevic to replace him. Who's replacing what Schroeder does if you trade him? I like Dennis Schroeder on this team. He stays.
Well, I like if him. I like him more today than I did yesterday. Yeah. That's for sure. And, you know, Dennis Schroeder still, for me, is an awkward fit. Last night was a small step in the right direction. It's not like the guy went out there and had 26.
No, he wasn't great. He was
and
good.
He's a good on-ball defender, but yep. When you have GP2 back on this team, you don't need his on-ball defense as much when you have GP2 able to go out there and play defense.
Yeah, he plays a lot more minutes, though.
If you want to get something, you're going to have to give something.
And who are you, this particular team, when Steph needs those back-to-backs off? Who's doing that stuff now?
Well, you got Pods once his oblique gets healed.
Which, no thanks.
I mean, and he's missed now quietly, what, 2 or 3 weeks Pods has missed?
I heard some people starting to buzz that it's going to be a while still. So, yeah, I am team keep Schroeder. Let's go to JJ in Oakland. Hi, JJ. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good,
first
man.
First time caller.
Thanks.
Hey, Warriors then and now, if you look at their championships, with the exception of the last one, we always had a center. Now, we always used it's small ball. I don't get you, but that's all about matchups. It doesn't always work. But when you need a center, you need a center. TJB is a decent center, but he's a backup. He is not a starting center. And Looney's not even a center. He's a power forward playing like a center.
But then, JJ, who was their center 3 years ago when they won a ring?
He set aside from that year.
Oh, well, but I don't know if we here. Let me just say it this way, JJ, and then you can finish your point. Bob Myers came on our show. This was before he left the job. And sort of joked, knowing that all year long that year, people were screaming at him, you've got to go get a center. And they were aware of that, and then they didn't, and then they won the championship. So I'm not even dismissing your point. I just think that there's more than one way to do it. That's all.
The reason why they won that year is they played Denver at 1/3 strength.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, Denver was down and things broke their way. And I'm even going back to the Denver, KD years.
Yeah, thanks, JJ. Denver wasn't ready yet that year.
Well, when they had KD, they didn't really have a center. And if you want to say that they had Zaza playing 14 minutes a night, okay. They had Zaza and they had David West and they had JaVale McGee. All those guys together didn't even take up one full spot of 48 minutes. So they had tall guys, but they didn't really use a center. They use Draymond at the five.
I'm gonna reference Tiger Woods here for a second. I know that that's not super random.
It's Tiger.
Yeah. Tiger was asked one time, and this was at the height of his powers. The Masters was about to start, and they asked him, what do you need this week? What club do you need to hit well? Or what, you know, what's the strategy around the course? One of the first things out of his mouth, other than, yeah, I need to play well, but he said, I need breaks. You're like, Tiger? Tiger Woods? He's like, yes, to win in professional sports, you need some things to go your way. So I flatly reject every time when people try to take something away from certain Warrior rings because of who they played and who wasn't available in that particular series or this particular series. Like, the Toronto Raptors are not giving their ring back, even though they played the Warriors with no Kevin Durant and eventually no Klay Thompson. They got that break. And then they made that, like, that's life. You get a break and then you make good on it. But I also don't even think Denver was ready. That was an early round series that year. Denver wasn't ready.
Denver was depleted.
They were depleted, but they also weren't, I just don't think they were there yet.
Well, you can look at any singular thing and you can say, yeah, breaks. And I was talking to a Detroit Lions fan, actually our interior decorator, a lovely lady, wearing a Detroit Lions shirt, and we were talking about Dan Campbell. She said, what do you think of our coach? And I said, man, is he reckless with his fourth down calls? But then I said, you know what? Against the Niners, it wasn't his fault that Reynolds dropped the football. She's like, man, you know your stuff. Well, and so the Niners got a break when the Lions went for it on fourth down. The Lions executed a great play call, and they dropped it.
They dropped the ball.
So, however, to your point, you need breaks to, and I'm not saying that the Lions win the game, but that was certainly a break.
They might have won the game if they'd kicked a field goal. But anyway, we're sponsored by the San Francisco International Airport. I don't want to make Grandy mad. I know when you use the words field and goal next to each other, he's got this thing that flies up. Why are you mad?
I can't believe this conversation you guys are having.
Okay, then weigh in, for crying out loud.
We'll do it next.
Perfect. On 95.7 The Game with Willard and Dibs and some Grandy, too.
Schroeder off the screen. Foul line. Lob. Jackson Davis catches and slams inside. Well done on the pick and roll right there with those two.
Dub Nation, it's Trace Jackson Davis. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, thank you, TJD, Bob Fitzgerald. In an hour, knockout tournament. Here we go. You've heard all the shows talking about it. We're now a year in. Like, last year we were promoting this thing and we didn't know what the hell was going to happen. Now we know because we did it last year. It was freaking phenomenal.
I cannot wait for that trophy that's out the corner of my left eye to be gone. Because
it may not be gone. Like,
no, it's going to be given to the next person.
I know. What if Lucas wins?
I'm sorry. I love it when you make jokes. Say that one again.
What if Lucas wins?
I finished top five last year.
Oh, my heart.
What if somebody else who works in that room wins? What if E-Dog wins or Spadone?
Less funny. More plausible.
Lovin's not winning.
Now you're just being silly. Now you're just being funny.
He's going to go over there trying to hit the basketball with a bat.
You know who might win?
What?
The 6'9" phenom Carter Chickering.
Oh, he could. He could.
Guy's so big he can reach out and dunk it from the foul line.
He's a fantasy champ. 2025 could be his year.
Chickering.
Yep. Anyway.
Anyhow.
If you have not heard us talk about this, the knockout tournament is back, and last year's champ is about to get loose on 95.7 The Game because apparently he's all ticked off.
Yeah.
At both of us. All right, fine. Or the Warriors, or everyone. I don't know. We'll find out in a second. Maybe he's just mad because Oregon lost. Just trying to tick him off even more.
In something.
Anyway, if you would like to play basketball at Chase Center like a fancy pants, this is what you need to know. You're opportunity to win your way in starts Monday, January 27th. Okay, so in about a week and a half. Monday, January 27th, that's when the qualification process begins. And yes, it will be a qualification sensation.
Thank you.
For 3 weeks every day, you'll have three chances every day to qualify. One per show, 8 a.m. hour, noon hour, 4 p.m. hour. So just keep listening. Be ready for Monday, January 27th. You have to be at least 18, and you have to live in California. Good luck. We hope to meet you and see you there and dunk on you. We're going to go back to the calls in a second, but first, we go live to the other room where the champ, Mark Grandy, has this rant. Hello, Mark.
Mark angry.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's going on? Why are y'all ticked off?
Well, so I get where you guys are coming from in terms of information gathering and use the next 3 weeks to figure out really who you are and what you might need. And maybe you don't need to make a move at all. And maybe you learn that you do, and maybe something presents itself and you have a better ability to make that move then. I don't think there's anything that this team will do over the next 10 games that can possibly change my opinion that they're just simply nowhere near good enough. We've had 2.5 years of evidence that suggests they are a mediocre at best basketball team, and this year it's been even worse than the last 2 years. And, you know, yeah, Kuminga could come back, but they were also pretty darn average with Kuminga in the first place.
Okay, go ahead, finish up.
I feel like we're headed to another situation where the Warriors are going to say, well, you know, there was no right opportunity. There was no perfect opportunity for us to make a move at this trade deadline, so we're going to keep our optionality open and hope that something comes about in the offseason, which is the same exact thing they've done for the last 2 years, and nothing has worked. You're not going to have this magic pill that fixes all of your problems. There's no home run here. You're going to have to take a chance, take some sort of risk to get yourself out of this situation, and I just want them to take that risk.
So, okay, that's fair. But now we understand these comments that were made at the beginning of the week, Mark, they were directed at you. They were talking to you and others who share your opinion. And this would be my response to that. While I get where you're coming from, and Dibs, I don't want to speak for you. I don't know what you think. While I get where you're coming from, I'm not in this mode of like the Warriors need to, as you put it, take the next week or 2 weeks, 3 weeks to learn who they are. We know who they are. We know who they are. And I understand that. That does not mean, in my opinion, you should do something stupid. And I think so if we go back to the comments at the beginning of the week where Steph spoke about the responsibility that he feels toward the organization and that Steve Kerr talked about not being irresponsible. Just because you want a deal doesn't mean that a good one presents itself. So what about that? Like the answer that you hate that they've given the last 2 years, what if I told you it's a fair answer? Like finding a star in the NBA is not just snap fingers, give first round picks, now we have a star. Like, it doesn't work that way.
And I agree with the first 80% of your rant, and you're spot on, and you and I are absolutely in lockstep. But the last part of it for me is, therefore, don't make a trade, don't make a big swing, because I'm with you, Grandy. I don't think that what we've seen over the last 2.5 years is remotely good enough, but I also don't think that there's anything out there in the next 3 weeks that is worth a big swing. If you want to make a small swing, like a ground ball to the right side to move a guy from second to third, I'm here for that sort of an at-bat.
What if we gave you your Twitter fingers back? So go ahead. What do you want him to do?
Well, I've been very vocal about this. I think Zion Williamson is the home run that this team can make. And you're going to have to get lucky, and you're going to have to hope that, one, you can make the money work and the Pelicans want to get off of him and that he stays healthy and that he takes care of his body. But if those things work, he becomes a player that helps you now and he helps you post-Steph. But if we forget about more like specific moves or specific players, just talk more so about the feeling the Warriors are giving me, it feels like they care more about the future post-Steph than the rest of the time with Steph.
Yeah, I don't see that.
That really irks me.
I don't agree. I think that you are, this is me now,
I can understand me saying that probably if they were to hear that would piss them the hell off. That's how I feel.
And that's fine. And you're allowed to feel that way. But I do think you made that feeling up. I don't think they told you that. You may have heard that.
That's just how I feel based on the way that they're attacking this situation.
But you don't even know how they're attacking this situation.
They're attacking it with patience and still trying to figure out who we are.
For all you know, they're trying to lower the price on something right now with all these comments.
You could go 2-8 in your next 10 before the deadline, and then you get to a point where it's like, maybe there's a move that could help us this year, but we're already 6 games under .500, we're not good enough anymore, so why even try now?
But that's out of their control. That's the basketball. You got to go make shots and play the games and beat other teams that are also trying to win. But it feels to me like you're talking about strategy, as if the Warriors clearly, like, they care more about 2028 than they do 2025. I don't agree with that at all. And just because they're talking, just because their lips are moving, does not mean that they're actually telling you what their plans are. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, but I do think that if they go 2-8, over the next 10, which is how many games you have before the deadline, then it informs them more on what any sort of a move would do. If
that's
you're 22 and 28 at the deadline, or 28 and 22, I do think that you can be motivated in different ways to make a move that might help you this year. I do kind of take to heart what you said about maybe they're more interested in life after Steph. I don't think that they are. I do look at where they are and think, and listening to Steph and Steve, and I think that they might be more interested in next season and next offseason making a big swing as opposed to the next 3 weeks.
And which frustrates me about that is because they said the same thing the last two trade deadlines about that. We're going to prepare ourselves for the optionality, the flexibility of a big star asking out. The big move they made was trading Jordan Poole away, getting Chris Paul in here. We got optionality with Chris Paul's contract. They let it expire. You got nothing as a result of that.
Yeah, but I'd argue from a financial standpoint, you didn't get nothing out of it. And I know behind the scenes, by the way, that they would argue that. They would argue that, what if I said it to you this way, Grandy? You want Jordan Poole on this team?
They'd be a better player with Jordan Poole on this team right now.
Say bye-bye to your boy Kuminga. They're letting him walk. Can't afford him.
Nick Friedell says they should trade him anyway.
Well, that's fine. But again, all I would ever ask is, or the way I think at least, is think about that stuff. Think about what X means when we get to Y. Like, I understand where you're coming from. I completely do. Like, would Jordan Poole fit on this team? Or you hate the way the Jordan Poole situation went down? Sure. But just because it didn't turn into something that's, like, clearly tangible doesn't mean that doing it the opposite way would have been perfect or would have fit. It doesn't mean that. Like, that money that they're not paying Jordan Poole is allowing for them to reset the tax and potentially attack this in a different way over the remainder of Steph's career.
And you could say it's also part of the reason why they're a .500 basketball team right now.
You could argue that, yes.
So maybe that's, again, the point where they care a little bit more about life after Steph than they care about life right now.
I just wonder what, like, can or could be done, and we can look at the Lauri Markkanen experience and think about what it might have taken to swing Danny Ainge to make that trade, and would that have made you a markedly better team? And I also look at what they were able to do with Klay Thompson. They were able to make Klay into a sign-and-trade. It was a, what, 5 or 6 team extravaganza?
I think 6.
And it netted you slow-mo, and it also netted you Buddy Hield, and you also were able to get DeAnthony Melton on the mid-level. So I do think incrementally they got better. Now it hasn't totally worked out, and Melton turned into Schroeder, and Hield has been hot and cold. Shout out Katy Perry. And Slow-Mo has been, I think, a little underwhelming.
Totally. He's had a lot of periods of time where he doesn't even play.
And, you know, so far there have been a grand total of 2 trades this NBA year, and the Warriors have made one of them. So you can't really say that they've been totally inactive, right?
Yeah,
they've made half the trades in the league.
Of everything you're saying, Grandy.
There's at least 3 now, Dibs. Suns acquired a big man.
Mm-hmm. I actually
own. Yeah, and then the Schroeder, and I'm trying to remember what the other one
Lakers
was.
Got.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, right. Dorian Finney-Smith. Yeah. Right. My right. fault. Yeah, yeah, so only a third of the trade.
I think the Warriors.
Get off your butt, Dunleavy.
Warriors trade is actually the most significant of the three also. But here's what I'd say. I don't think anything that you're saying is talking crazy. The one area, if I was to zero in on one thing, I do not buy that they care more about the future than the now. And I do not buy that their behavior says that simply because they haven't taken this quote-unquote big swing, because that's not entirely up to them. You can't just walk into the room and be like, here for a big swing. Where do I give my $5 so I can take a big swing? There's got to be another team that wants it. You have to play in on all of the players involved. You know, you mentioned the Klay Thompson situation. That was largely based on Klay's emotions more than anything else. So how do we factor that into the whole thing? Like, this is a very, very complex thing, and I would not argue that the right thing to do is to take big swings just to take them. You said Zion Williamson helps you now and in the future. He's never helped an NBA team in his life. And that's a fact. He has never helped an NBA team in his life. Just because of his draft status and big name, why is that suddenly going to change? And I'm not saying that it's a bad idea, but come on. That is filled with risk and all kinds of twists and turns.
Might be a guy, though, that you can buy low based on...
Maybe.
Based on his contract situation as well. I do believe that there is an out clause based on...
I'll look at that.
Based on the fact that he hasn't played enough games, and I don't think that he's made all of his weigh-ins.
Bobby Marks essentially said the rest of his contract is non-guaranteed.
Not guaranteed. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, yeah. And if New Orleans really wants to get out of it, you might be able to get Zion for... a lot less than you otherwise would have. Now, I'm not in favor of bringing him in because he's not available enough for me, although I know he's now been starting to actually, I don't know, play basketball of late, which is exciting.
He has played some. Yeah, he's got 3 more years on his deal. I'd be interested to learn more about the non-guaranteed portion of it, but even if it's non-guarantee, and then you just were like, oh, let's clear the books and we'll let him go. We've got a bunch of money to spend on who? On who? And now, to make that happen, Wiggins is definitely gone and more. Like, I don't know, is Kuminga in that deal? Like, what's New Orleans or all of your first-round picks?
I'll put it in the trade machine, Mark, and get back to you.
That's a big swing if one of your thoughts is, and we can get rid of him if he's not good. Woof! You just gave up a bunch of assets to then give him up too? That's a healthy risk.
No doubt.
That's a healthy risk.
I just don't see a lot of great... I don't see any great options. I think that is the best...
For sure. We all agree on that.
The best potential option out of a group of options that are average, if not below average, across the board.
Well, let's just say that the Warriors, on a scale of 1 to 10, relative to the NBA, they're 20 and 20. They're probably a 5 right now, as currently comprised. Maybe they're a 6, depending on where you see them. If you can go from a 5 or a 6 out of 10 to a 6 or a 7 out of 10, that to me is the kind of trade I'm interested in, because it won't cost you a bunch. And then in the offseason, if you can go from being a 6 or a 7 to a 7 or an 8, now you've got a chance to make a swing next year. That to me is much more feasible than trying to go from being a 5 or a 6 right now to being a 7 or an 8 at the expense of a lot and getting Jimmy Butler for a ton of money and maybe he won't work out, or Zion Williamson and maybe he doesn't want to stop eating, or you know, you can pick whatever other big star you want.
That was Fridell's first comment yesterday. He's like, that man is huge.
Yeah.
Huge. And does not play a lot of basketball. Missed a plane last week. I mean, I don't know, man. I know that it lacks definition, and in this day of social media, we all are supposed to define big trade, no trade, this, that, the other. I really think you have to just take each one of these on their own merits and decide, are they smart? Is it a smart thing to do? And I don't think right now any big deal, it looks smart. And I think that they agree, which is why they said what they said. But there's also 3 weeks to go, and things can change very, very quickly. We love it when Sister Agnes calls from Charlotte, and that's exactly what she's done. Hello, Sister Agnes.
Hey, Willard and Dibs. Happy New Year.
To you as well.
Thank you. I watch a lot of clips of, you know, like Klay Thompson when they first started out and Steph Curry. And Klay says that it took them 3 years to actually build chemistry. And what Curry said last night after the game is he said, we're a unique group. We have to play off each other. And I think what they're doing right now, I agree with Mark that they need another piece. Sure, they need another piece. They need another big. But they've got important pieces, kind of like the 22 championship. And I think they're trying to build that chemistry. Buddy Hield, you know, Steve keeps putting him in dire situations so he'll perform. Ant Edwards last night was trying to describe that the whole team knows how to play with Steph Curry. So you don't want to break some of that chemistry up. You don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. So I think listening to Steph really made me go back and listen to some of those classic Klay Thompson, Draymond Green interviews where they tell you how they built that chemistry. And that's what I sense here. They need another piece. They need another big. But they've got that Otto Porter kind of person. They've got that Sean Livingston kind of person. So I really appreciated Curry saying what he did, even though it was probably the most angry that I've heard him speak to to all of us Twitter fingers. But, it was good. It was good for me to hear it. And I think we just have to – there's another point that he made, and that's the trust of the organization. This Warriors organization is special, and they are built on trust, and they just don't throw players under the bus. And so I think we have to appreciate it, even if it's kind of moving into another phase.
That's a great call, Sister Agnes.
Thank
we
you,
love
sister.
It. Yeah, thank you very much.
God like, bless.
Yeah, I mean, she's talking about Curry's comments, and let me ask you this. And Grandy can weigh in on this later, too, because this is, this is parenthetical to the conversation that we were just having. So Steph Curry earlier this week says, I've got a responsibility to the Warriors. I don't want to crater the team. World goes crazy. He's waving a white flag. Then he comes out and goes, not waving a white flag. I couldn't be more intense on this particular group. We want to figure it out. Stop tweeting about a trade. And now we go crazy because we're like, Steph, why won't you demand a trade? Or why won't you speak the way? What do you want Steph to say? That's my question. What do you want him to say?
You want him to say, hey, front office, get me help. We're 20-20, and darn it, we're not good enough. I need more good players, because you see these bums around me?
I'm out on that guy. I see that guy all over the league, and I don't want him. I want this player.
And this player is never going to say that. And so all he said last night is, put down your trade machine, give us time to figure this out. And yeah, you got 20 days, Steph. You've got 10 games. And if you go 8-2, well then, now we're cooking. If you go 2-8 over the next 10 and we get to the deadline and you're 22-28, then what are we even talking about? So yes, you need some time to figure it out. And you haven't had Draymond and you haven't had Pods and Kuminga's out for at least another week or two, maybe three. So he's trying to figure it out with Lindy and Gee and Trace and, you know, Dennis, who's new. So, yeah, figure it out, Steph, but the clock is ticking.
We want to go to Sabrina, too, but Grandy, yeah. What do you want him to say?
Similar to what Dib said, I want Steph Curry to be so maniacal about winning this year, the rest of his career, and I think he feels that way, but yeah. I just disagree when he says, and we have the utmost confidence that we can beat anybody right now. We have piles of evidence that suggests no, you can in fact lose to everybody.
But how do you know that when he says give us a minute to figure this out, he's not just talking about the 12 people on the bench? He's talking about the entire organization. He didn't say anything yesterday that dismissed the idea of a deal.
No, he didn't. It seemed to me though, it suggests that there's confidence in the group at the moment.
I mean, what's he gonna say?
But yeah, 12 more. 12 more, 10 more games, 3 more weeks, 21 more days to figure this thing out. They've had 2.5 years, and they've just kind of been toiling in this middle ground the whole time.
And I totally get that frustration. I do not take any of that reality to mean, so go do something stupid. And I know you're not saying that either, but that's clearly what they feel has been presented to them so far. Stupid. That's what the marketing offer was. Well, that's stupid.
And I do think that they see as stupid like a 3 or a 4 for 1 to bring in Jimmy Butler. If you're Steph and you see
that's a terrible
GP2
idea.
And Kavon and Wiggins, and you're thinking all three of you are going to be gone for Jimmy Butler, who's a good player, he's a competitor, he's a winner, he's going to come in and fight, but you're going to take three of your veterans who you've rolled with for championships in a long time to bring in a $50 million question mark?
Bye-bye depth, and your three best players are all hurt and in their mid-30s?
Right.
I mean, Sabrina in the city. Hi, Sabrina. Thanks for the call. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're good.
Good. I'm just going to add on to you, Willard, as far as like the panicking move. I think panicking is for the teams that are not just 2 or 2.5 games out of 5th or 6th. I haven't looked at the standings today, but I believe they're not that far from that position, right?
Two games right now.
We know what the Warriors... Two games. I mean, like, why would you make a panicky move? We knew what the Warriors were when they first started. Everyone was excited. The team was excited. They came out there with fresh legs. Buddy Hill was shooting out of his mind. We saw chemistry. We saw ball movement. We saw low turnovers. We saw high defensive plays. So we know what the Warriors can be. The only missing factor is that you got guys that's out of rotation right now. And Kuminga, who's your slasher, he's your guy off the bench that brings energy. You got Draymond. And then you had DeAnthony Melton, right? That missing piece. So if you're going to make a move, why don't you just make a move like that, a glue guy that can move the ball, that can hit the three when you need it, because we know Gary Payton's been having some issues in that you know, section. So just do that. Don't go out and try to make a home run right away. And like what the other callers have said, now you're messing up your chemistry altogether. Give the team a chance to figure it out. Let Kerr figure it out. I mean, he's been having to play around with his rotation all season. That is difficult for a team going into the second half.
Sabrina, thank you. Yeah, it's a good call, and I think we'll talk more about it coming up. You know, and don't forget, I would love to see Jonathan Kuminga continue what he had started before he got hurt. Those last 5 games when he was scoring a lot of points, and they won 3 of those games, including wins over Memphis and Phoenix. Like, I'd like to see that get rebirthed. And unfortunately, you won't see that till after the trade deadline. But yeah, there's a lot of factors here. We'll keep talking them out. Fitz joins us in about a half hour. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. And this is Willard and Dibs.
Angry Jeff.
That's awesome.
Now, back to
Willard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
All right. My observation so far, less than 24 hours after Steph Curry said this.
All the Twitter fingers who's got deals that we need to make can kind of just shut up a little bit and let us figure this thing out. Like, we know we can be competitive, and we showed, you know, that toughness tonight. Obviously, every team is trying to find ways to get better, and for us, we've been great for a very long time. This is just a unique year where we have to be able to stay relevant and give ourselves a chance and just have some life in a playoff series, and we have a whole lot of confidence that we can, you know, beat anybody. So, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. Well, here's my quick observation. People have not put down their Twitter fingers.
No. I mean, just because Steph says we need to shut up a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, with all due respect to the chef, you don't get to tell us or me what to do with my Twitter fingers.
Sure he does.
Twitter finger is going to stay active.
Same way we tell them what to do. Come on, Andrew, be more aggressive.
Yeah.
This is life. I have no problem with that whatsoever. And yes, I'm aware it does not mean that ESPN's trade machine will not be visited today.
Oh, no, they shut it down. Yeah. It's no longer available because Steph said put down your Twitter fingers.
I get it. I guess this is funny. I mean, the conversation has gotten a little bit intricate, which I'm fine with, because I feel like everyone's opinions have some sort of overlap. Like, Grandy, you can kick and scream about it. I don't disagree with you across the board at all.
Yeah.
I don't. But I guess my thought is I don't want it to be that black and white. I don't want it to be, admit you suck, make a deal. What if there's no deal to be made? I do think this, and I mean this now across the board. GMs too often get ripped for, quote, not making a deal. You don't know what deal was offered.
Trades are hard.
We do this with the Giants every July. Stupid, you didn't trade Mad Bum. I have no clue what they offered. I don't know if anybody offered anything. You dummy, you didn't trade Blake Snell. I don't know what was offered. It seems likely that something was, but I have no idea. So I'm not going to, and this is, in my opinion, what they meant at the beginning of the week. We're not here to do something irresponsible. So we're not going to just make a deal because we're supposed to make a deal. And because Brian Windhorst has been talking about it and Shams has been talking about it every day for the last 3 months. So I guess we're supposed to make a deal. No, it has to be a good deal.
Right.
That's all they were saying. It does not mean white flag or we're not making a deal. I didn't take it that way, at least.
I didn't either. And again, I said it yesterday that I thought it was a yellow flag. It's not a green flag, which is kind of where Brooklyn is. Right now, Brooklyn is wide open, which I know you love. Shout out Creed. Brooklyn is open for business, I believe, and they're clearly in sell mode. And Washington is probably the same. And Chicago, they're begging somebody to trade for Zach LaVine. Nobody wants to take on the contract. So the Warriors are not in a red flag spot. They're not in a white flag spot where they're giving up. They're in a yellow flag, which is we'd like to make a deal that makes us better.
Yes.
But we don't want to make a deal that makes us worse now and or into the future. So you've got 20 days. You can wait and see. You're 20-20, which is kind of where you don't want to be. You don't want to be in the middle, but you could win 8 of 10 and be a 6 seed. You could lose 8 of 10 and be the 12 seed. We just don't know where they're going to be. So right now, 3 weeks out from the trade deadline, I like them being in a yellow flag, cautious position because you don't know what trade is out there, to your point, and you also don't know what assets you have. Jonathan Kuminga, now out of a walking boot, according to Anthony Slater, looks like he'll be reevaluated in about a week. That would be 3 weeks from the injury, and which was what they said, yep, the original timeline. So in a week, we should be able to get an idea of whether or not he'll be able to even play before the deadline.
See, first of all, I love the way you broke that down. Second of all, this just came in our text line. I wonder, do you agree with this? Do you agree with this?
I don't know yet.
I know. I'm going to read it to
you. Okay.
I'm going to read it to you.
Okay.
This, and I'll tell you right off the bat, I don't. This is the kind of thinking that personally I don't understand. Not saying it's wrong, I just don't get it. 707 texts in. Not doing a deal is a white flag. Period. That kind of definitive reaction, I just can't get with. I can't do that. Like, you're basically telling them you have to make a deal, even if there isn't a good one out there, even if there isn't a responsible one out there. So you would rather the Warriors send out Kuminga and Wiggins to get Jimmy Butler, cower underneath his demands, give him massive money going into the future, as he, Steph, and Draymond all go into their late 30s, that somehow is translated in your mind to mean going for it. It translates into my mind as going, dude, you are like mentally disabled right now. Why would you do that? That makes no sense. And that's what Steph, in my opinion, is saying. You're like, we got to stop this trigger reaction of like, must make deal, must save the queen.
Yeah.
Like, no. It's got to be smart. It has to be the right thing.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily agree with the notion of no trade is the white flag because you are going to get Kuminga back, and if you can get your entire team as you thought you were going to be comprised at the start of the year with the exception of Schroeder in for Melton, and if we can say that that is at least somewhat of a lateral move, well, then you're back to the team that started 12-3. And that's kind of, I think, what Steph is getting at. Like, let us all get back healthy and whole. Let us figure it out with a new player in Dennis. And, you know, we're not going to have a 12-man rotation. Once Pods is back and everybody's back healthy, let us then figure out if we can be the same team we were when we were 12-3. They don't believe that they're the team that was 7-17 over a 24-game stretch. So let them figure it out. At the same time, Mike Dunleavy, I'm sure, is working the phones.
Yes.
He's not thinking, well, we beat Minnesota, so I'm going to white flag it. We're not good.
I'm not anti-deal. I've been sitting here for 4 weeks saying that I'd love to see Vucevic on this team. Every time you've brought up Cam Johnson, I'm interested. I'd like to know what it takes to get him. I'm not anti-deal. I'm anti-bad deal.
Yeah.
And that's all I heard them say this week. That's all I heard the Warriors say this week. They are anti-bad deal.
Well, every team should be anti-bad deal. Although, if you're a team like Miami, for example, and you just really, really want Jimmy Butler off your team, and you suspended him for 7 games because you were so mad at the way he's acting, you might accept a lesser deal. You probably won't accept a bad deal because you're Pat Riley and you don't do that, but you might end up taking a worse deal than you'd like based on your situation.
You might. However, there's already rules in place that make that one, to me, a non-starter for the Warriors, which is Jimmy's money.
Yeah.
Jimmy's money and the Warriors' situation financially, to me, makes it a complete non-starter.
It's tough.
Because it's Wiggins and a bunch more. And I'm just like, that doesn't make you any better.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you any better now, and it makes you way worse into the future. So that's a great definition. That's a bad deal.
I just did Wiggins, Schroeder, and GP2, and you're still about $300,000 short of what you need to come up with. And they're going to want to pick, too.
Yeah, and you're a worse team.
Right.
You are a worse basketball team.
Yeah, so you lose your best wing defender, you lose probably your best on-ball defender, and you lose your glue guy. And you get a Jimmy Butler for 2 months, maybe more. And if it's more, he's going to want $50 million a year, or he's going to opt in.
Yeah.
You
just can't force it.
I can't trade Gee anymore, unfortunately, because he's actually playing good now.
You like him now, huh?
Gee's been my throw-in.
He was the salary matcher. Yeah,
it works if you throw Gee in, but I can't.
Until this week, that's what was on the back of his jersey when he walked out on the court. Yeah. Just a salary matcher. But now you're like, oh, hold on a second. You can play a little bit.
So the Hollinger analysis of that, when I throw Gee in, it's successful, but the Warriors turn out to be -6 in the win column.
Yeah, no thanks. No thanks. And then what are they next year when they've got to pay Jimmy $100 million or whatever the hell he
starting
wants?
Starting at center, Quentin Post.
No thanks. Let's go to D in Walnut Creek. We're taking your calls throughout the afternoon. Bob Fitzgerald joins us in 15 minutes. Hey, D, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going? I used to like it when you used to ask, hey, what are you doing now? And then I'd tell you what I was cooking in my kitchen.
What are you doing, D?
I'm sitting here waiting for you guys. Hey, you know, Tom Brady took a pay cut to go to Tampa because he wanted to win. Why can't Steph do the same thing if he really is serious about winning another championship? I'll tell you why. The league is all about contracts and money. And nobody's going to take a pay cut just because they want to win a championship.
Well, D, what do you mean by define that for us, take a pay cut? Because, by the way, I don't know what you mean by Tom Brady took a pay cut. He signed as a free agent. He signed as a free agent.
He took less than what he could have gotten,
I don't even know what he could have gotten. There was no max salary in the NFL.
He can restructure.
Steph actually cannot restructure.
Yeah,
it's against the collective bargaining. Once you sign it, that's your deal. You can, like in football, you can restructure. In the association, you are not allowed to do that. So Steph is going to get paid what Steph signed up to get paid.
I mean, the only thing that, like, 2 years from now, and now he just signed an extension, but 2 years from now, I mean, he's allowed to go say, just pay me 30.
Pay me the vet min.
He could do that. I think the players' union and stars around the league might take issue with that.
Well, he'll be 39 going on 40.
Yeah,
so.
but like, the bottom line is there's no way, there's almost no way to pay Steph what he's worth. You heard Nick was in here yesterday talking about globally how many people show up to watch him warm up.
Yep.
Like, I understand where you're coming from, D. It'd be wonderful if everybody was just like, don't pay me. I've made enough. But that's not life. That's not the structure. And I would never ask someone to do that. Whatever Steph makes, it's not enough. Period. He's the entire organization right now. As far as branding, as far as watchability, as far as viewership, excitement, all of that stuff. And so he deserves to be paid for that. Exactly what he's worth. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.